Yo, 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 what's up? It's your boy Derek here at the Weekly Polls with his homies at the Tevin minus the I and at Z13, Ricky Z. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up? It's me. It's because it's at the Tevin minus the Tevin altogether.
Tevin? Tevin's not here?
No Tevin today.
I'm fucking leaving.
Man, I gotta do this by myself.
No, Tevin was busy and we agreed to record tonight and it's been a month, so we have to do it. We're here.
Totally.
And it's my fucking birthday.
Happy birthday, Derek.
I'll cry if I want to.
Woo! Sound effects.
I feel like I haven't talked to you in like a while.
Yeah, I know, right? I just talked to this like grimace dude on the internet all the time, but I'm like, I haven't talked to you.
Yeah, I've been seeing this grimace fucker floating around and like he's getting kind of popular. Like, who is that guy?
He just keeps talking trash about murdering Batman or something.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. Apparently he's the mayor of Suplex City. Fuck.
So dumb. Yeah, man, it's been a while. We haven't done anything. I mean, we've done stuff, but we haven't done like podcast stuff.
Yeah,
three of us.
I feel like I have all this pent up funniness I need to get out.
I have this weird urge to just say random crap into a microphone for like an hour, and I don't know why.
Like, I'm just trying to fucking pop the hell off.
I don't totally know what that means, but I'm excited to find out.
Well, let's just talk about what happened to me today. Just like real quick.
Yeah, Derek, tell us about your day, your birthday, the day of your birth.
My birthday fell on fucking New Comic Book Day. Lit. So like I was supposed to have 5 books this week. Well, Destroy All Monsters from Ed Brubaker, already knew. It got pushed back a week because apparently there's a paper shortage. So that's not coming out till next week. That's fine. Whatever. They mentally prepared me for that. So then I show up and all of a sudden, I guess Penguin is the dudes that are fucking slinging Marvel shit now. First
for
week,
sure.
They're already fucking up. And
they were like,
we didn't
get you, Diamond.
Yeah, and we didn't even get no Marvel books at all. So there goes Spider-Man for me. And then I talked to the dudes over at Scout and Gods of Brutality. They said if it's not there now, it'll be there next week. And it wasn't there. So I only walked out with 2 instead of 5. And I was a little bummed out, but like, you know, what the fuck am I going to do about it?
Cry, probably.
Pretty much. It's my birthday, and I'm going to cry if I want to.
Yeah. You know, so, my birthday was on New Comic Book Day also, just not this one. And it was like super lit, as the kids would say. I was like, wait a second. This Wednesday? Oh, cool. Because normally I just kind of forget that, like my kids are like, hey, you know what we're doing on whatever day? And I'm like, I don't know. They're like, you don't have a guess? I'm like, no. I'm like, it's your birthday. I'm like, oh, yeah. That and I always like kind of forget and don't really pay attention, and then like my grandma will be like, hey, you got like an Amazon list of like what kind of stuff you want? That's how I remember. It's like somebody else will say something. But this year I was like, wait a second, New Comic Book Day, hey, that's another date I know. This is my birthday. And that was like total great free pass to just go to the comic book store,
right? Like, hell, half the reason I even remembered it was my birthday, it was just the simple fact that today is Wednesday.
Yep. Works out. That's what my, and it's great because my wife is she's like, oh, you should, you know, take off work on your birthday. I'm like, I never take off work on my birthday because like it's, I don't want to. And then I was like, you know what, I think I might, because it's free comic book day. So I like went to my boss on Monday, this was, you know, a couple months back, and I was just like, hey, can I take Wednesday off? I got something came up. And he's like, yeah, I don't care. I was like, oh, cool. He's kind of new. And he's like, yeah, I told you, I'm like really laid back. I don't care about this stuff. I was like, I know, but like everybody says that, but I didn't know if it was for real. I thought I'd ask. And then all I got to do is tell my wife, oh, it's my birthday and you can't tell me what to do. And then she's like, yeah, I wasn't going to, but I just say like rude crap all the time and she puts up with it. And then I go and get comic books.
Hell yeah.
I don't even remember what I got that week.
So like, every time, like, I see people talking about it, like, Penguin, I just think of Danny DeVito in Batman Returns.
Always. Yep.
Like, that motherfucker has my issue of Amazing Spider-Man 76. I'm gonna fucking find him, And I'm going to suplex his ass.
Find him. You'll never find
him. I'm never going to find him. Danny, I don't think Danny DeVito is fucking real.
I mean, I think he's real.
I don't know, man. I don't think he's real. Has anybody ever seen him in public?
I mean, I think... Well, I don't know. I don't really look at, like, tabloid pictures, so it's hard to say.
Making you question everything now. Is
there's one right there coming out of a gym or something. Nope. Says Danny DeVito isn't a gym person. He's a gin person. And it just shows him chucking a deuce up at the paparazzi. Looks like he's real. I don't know why I bothered to look up Danny DeVito. That's your fault.
You're welcome.
There was like somebody made a meme where he was Wolverine that I just saw. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that's been floating around too. And I guess somebody like drew it as well.
I like the Danzig ones because he actually was somebody they were looking at for the original Wolverine casting.
Was he really?
Yeah, well, he fits the, if you look at his body type, he's Wolverine.
For sure. Like, I mean, so maybe not so much now, but especially like at that point in time, like Danzig is a jacked motherfucker.
And he's tiny short too. He's like 5'4", I think. He's not very tall. He might be taller than that. I don't know.
As a Glenn Danzig fan, I can confirm. That would have been really cool.
Yeah, that's I was seeing they put out those, you know, those lists all the time. It's, most of them are clickbait trash or Screen Rant.
Fuck those guys.
They'll put like, oh, who's all the people who could have been cast instead of Hugh Jackman? And then I was like, oh, I'll read it because I was working night shift at the time and why not? And like a lot of the options were good. And I saw Danzig. I was like, why? Oh, wait, never mind. Look at him. He's Wolverine. Like, he looks like Wolverine.
He really does.
And then a picture of him, like, on a stage where he was kind of, like, postured like Wolverine. And I was like, ah, yeah. We could have done that. That would have been good.
I always think of fucking Nicolas Cage as Superman.
I feel like that would be interesting.
That would have been crazy.
He'd be, like, a funny-looking Superman to me. But, like, he's a legit fan. You know, so it's like
he probably would have been okay.
Yeah, like anytime a fan plays somebody, you know, I think that changes things a lot. And like, so like Superman Returns, not my favorite, but I was excited because Kevin Spacey is a big Superman fan.
Sure.
And so I'm like, oh, that'll be great. But he's obviously not playing Superman. But and then they had like. You know, they do, like, little references with, like, did you see Fred Claus?
No.
Oh, man, that's a great movie for Christmas time, anyway. Paul Giamatti and Vince Vaughn's, like, Santa. And it's
okay,
anyway, it's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
And, like, Kevin Spacey's in that, and he's, like, a North Pole inspector or something. But he's, like, his whole – it's, like, turns out he's a jerk, and his whole childhood was ruined because he didn't get, like, a Superman cape or something that he wanted for Christmas. So it's like when you see people who are actually fans, and obviously we know now Kevin Spacey's kind of a weirdo, but when you're like, you know, like Ben Affleck with Daredevil, it was there's a couple other people that were in the running. I think they even asked Matt Damon at one point, but Ben Affleck was into it and was like, I am a Daredevil fan and I don't want – it sounded like he kind of took the part because he didn't want somebody else to ruin it. But the Fox tried really hard to ruin it, but like
Apparently, the director's cut is lit.
It is way better.
The director's cut is where it's at, and I still need to watch it. And anybody out there listening that has a copy of that shit and is trying to bootleg me one, get it to me because I want to watch it.
I think it's free on Prime. We might have rented it for like $3. I don't remember, but like, because I have the DVD. That was the first. I don't remember. I don't think it was the first PG-13 movie I saw in theaters. No, it couldn't have been. It was definitely the first movie I saw with my parents that had a sex scene in it, which was awkward.
Oh, God.
But and then like when like now. So my wife had never seen it. So we went back and watched it. But I had her watch the director's cut because I wanted to see that. And I realized that scene was not nearly as awkward as it was when I was like 14 or whatever.
Right. Because when I rewatched it probably a month ago on Hulu, the regular version. Yeah. And like. It was just such an unnecessary scene.
Dude,
and
so much
really,
of
it
that
just,
was...
It felt so out of place. Like, why are we even doing this?
We needed to know, like, a big part of the comic relationship with those two is that they do have a pretty sexual relationship. But, like, it was just like, oh, it's raining. Oh, you're doing it. And she's gone.
Yeah, that's cool. Exactly what happened.
So, like, the director's cut actually takes – I don't want to spoil it, but it's like you've seen the movie. The director's cut actually took that out, like, the scene, because it sounded like the studio wanted it in, like, for sales.
Most likely.
And it's like, oh, people like Ben Affleck, people like Jennifer Garner, let's take their shirts off, and cool. And then – the director's cut, they removed it because they explained, like, it made the continuity not really make sense, because the immediate next scene, he tells Foggy, like, it's not going to work out or something. And I'm like, what do you mean it's not going to work out? It just worked out yesterday. Like, what?
Yeah.
There was a lot of weird stuff that they, with the director's cut, which is weird because I think the director's cuts are rated. But it might have just been for, they might have slipped a couple F words in there. I can't remember. But they had some continuity issues that I didn't think of when I saw it as a kid, because I had read the comic books. So I was just like, oh yeah, I know what happened.
Right.
But then my wife is watching and she's like, how does he know who this Bullseye guy is? And I was like, oh, you're right. He refers to him by name in the original, in the regular version, having not actually had his name given to him at any point by anybody. And it's like weird little things like that. The director's cut kind of fixes a lot of that.
Damn.
Which is kind of cool.
I definitely need to see this now.
It is an improvement. And I actually like the first Daredevil, but it's for nostalgia purposes a lot. And also his suit was super dope.
Yeah. And like the soundtrack is a bop. Like I went through my CD collection the other day. Still have that bitch. And I'm probably going to spin the fuck out of it here soon. Because it hit, dude. It had
dude, and every time.
Hoobastank, Nickelback, Evanescence.
Twice.
Of course. Like that's
Rob
where
Zombie,
I found
Drowning
her.
Pool.
Yeah. The Rob Zombie Drowning Pool collab.
That
like,
was a deal. I love so that's funny too, is like every now and then, like I actually legit get into like Evanescence kicks because I think Amy Lee's voice is ridiculous, and I love something about like somewhat like melodic metal-esque music that has like really kind of like pristine female vocals in it.
Sure.
So like when they do like what's her name that did the some of those songs of Breaking Benjamin, I can't remember her name. And like the girl Lacey Sturm from Flyleaf and some of those, like,
yeah,
it just is like super cool. So every now and then I get on the Evanescence kick, and I always wind up coming back to the Daredevil soundtrack, because they had, I think, two songs on the Daredevil soundtrack.
Yeah, they had Bring Me to Life and that one that's sad as fuck with the piano.
My Immortal. Yeah.
Yeah, that one,
dude. And that was like, yeah, that was some good stuff. And then, you know, and then she did that song with Seether. Well, the redo of the Seether song, because Seether had already done it on their own. Oh, man. It was a good soundtrack. Same for, like, Spider-Man 2. That whole era was really good for...
Yeah, I had the Spider-Man soundtrack to you.
I remember being psyched because, like, I know everybody makes fun of that Hero song with Nickelback and...
it's good!
Josie Scott from Saliva.
But it's good.
And I make fun of Nickelback all the time, but I still sometimes like their music. And I actually do like some, like a fair amount of Saliva stuff anyway.
Yeah, sure. And then they have that fucking Sum 41 song on there.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a banger. And especially as like a 10-year-old kid, like, hell yeah, give me some fucking spiky hair. Like, let's fucking go.
That was like Sum 41 was I remember, like, Fat Lip was, like, the huge song. Everybody's like, oh, Sum 41, and it's in, like, I think it was in one of the Tony Hawk games or a different skateboarding game. I can't remember. All the good soundtracks were Tony Hawk games.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, like, that whole era, basically, if you're, like, a late 90s, early 2000s music fan, all the soundtracks in there were great. I got, like, so pumped because, which Matrix was it? Revolutions maybe or whatever, I can't remember the names of the sequels, and I only count two of them anyway, but whatever. They had POD had an exclusive song just for the Matrix soundtrack, and I was like, what is this fire? And it was like all this, just so many good soundtracks that
Rage Against the Machine, they put Rage Against the Machine's Wake Up on one of them.
Yeah it might have been
I think it was the first one.
I don't recall off of the top of my head.
And then Rage Against the Machine had No Shelter that was exclusively on that fucking – the Godzilla soundtrack, the one from 2000.
Oh, the 2000 Godzilla?
Yeah.
I remember I was a kid and I was like, how Godzilla have babies? There's just one Godzilla.
Dude, my dad,
my aunt like explained to me animals and how certain weird animals and like how it's also fiction, and I was like, oh, but how?
I had like a baby. My dad got me this like baby Godzilla. It was supposed to like it came with the egg and everything. Like, yeah. And I was like, oh shit, this is lit. And it had the little button on its back and its mouth would open. I thought I was cool as fuck. And like its legs, like it had like knees and it bent at the ankles too, so you could like position it in really fucky ways.
Oh yeah. So that yeah, there was like so I feel like big movies I remember having a ton of marketing for specifically for kids at fast food joints was Godzilla and Batman and the Batman and Robin. If you call that a movie.
That was one of my first exposures to Batman, too.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for you, but at least the only way to go is up.
Exactly. There. You got to start at the bottom, and then you get to eat.
And just to clarify earlier, Wake Up was used in the first Matrix, which is weird because it still is like 7 or 8 years older than that movie.
Yeah, because that album came out in like 92.
Yeah, that's old schools. But yeah. Anyway, Batman and Robin. I remember like Burger King was like, I think it was Burger King was like laced with toys and cups. They had some cool stuff. And I think so. My aunt, I have an aunt that's fairly close in age with me, and I remember so she was like in high school, and I was not. But like she worked at Burger King, so she would get hooked up with cool stuff. I can't remember if she worked there during that or just during the Pokemon stuff. But either way. Good hookup. But they had like those, they were like these frosted glass mug type cups.
Yeah.
That were like, it looked like Mr. Freeze made them, but it had like the bat logo on it and like super cool stuff. Like all the product crap was cool other than like the bat nipples, but like Robin's suit was cool looking. All that stuff was cool. And it was toys all over the place. Godzilla was the same way. Fast food crap all over, cool cups you could get everywhere. Toys all over the place. And then I thought Godzilla was cool, but I was also like 11 or something.
I still love Godzilla, bro.
I honestly haven't seen it in probably 20 years. I think I saw it when it came out on VHS, and then I probably watched it 2 or 3 times and never saw it again. Batman and Robin, I think I've successfully finished that movie twice.
I have every Batman movie on DVD, but like where I've moved around through the years, like they've gotten lost. So it's like, I think I have I have Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. I think that's all I have left.
Dude, those are good. Like I know like a lot of people will rip on the older Batman movies too, but really the only one that straight up sucks is Batman and Robin. And I know I try not to be a negative person, but it has like no redeeming value.
It sounds a lot like Superman 64.
It is not that level, because like I knew I couldn't control it going into it, but the whole point of Superman 64 was that I controlled it, and like I can't do anything. No, Batman and Robin was like, it was like Bane as far as his appearance. I'm like, oh cool, he looks like Bane, but they made him like an idiot dog, and like he's like Poison Ivy's slave. He's supposed to be like a tactical genius whose brain is on par with Batman and his physicality is beyond, and you made him an idiot and a slave person for Poison Ivy. Also like Schwarzenegger, like I think Schwarzenegger's hilarious, and I love like corny action comedy stuff, but that was terrible.
I mean, I had even now, like everyone's, you know, like typically they're like the fucking Joker, like no, I love Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze is my favorite.
If you, as anybody who's listening to the podcast knows, the Mr. Freeze and White Knight is great. The way they handle the character is really cool.
Yeah, dude.
As a character in general, he's cool because he's got like relatable, kind of like, you know, if you care about somebody, so you do some stuff to take care of that person, and maybe that stuff is not the best, but you're kind of blinded by how much you care about that person. So you're like, oh, I get that. He's a bad guy, but like he probably wouldn't be a bad guy
if he didn't need to be.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess, you know, maybe you don't be a bad guy and just, you know, whatever. But
like, I think Mr. Freeze like could have really his own standalone movie too. Like, he's got that nice complexity about him.
Yeah, well, and they could, it honestly, because he's got like so I'm not a Breaking Bad watcher, but I know enough with it. It's like, you know, you have a guy who is in a situation that he wouldn't be in except for he feels like he has to be,
right,
to take care of his family. So you can make that a compelling show without glorifying being a criminal, like they were so concerned about with the Joker movie that didn't really do that at all. But that's where, like, you don't want to make, like, oh, all the movies are about bad guys. So we all, oh, bad guys are good then? No, no.
No, this guy, that's not the
has,
point.
Like, stories. He has a reason. He is I think he's a great character. And I think he has some of the coolest looking art.
Yeah, dude. Out there, like, too. I fell in love with him with Batman the Animated Series. And then Batman Beyond came out. And then, like, there he is again. It's like, holy shit. Like, I was obsessed. Like, I think I had probably at least 4 or 5 Mr. Freeze action figures, and I wish I still just had even one, but they're all gone now.
I think I maybe had one Mr. Freeze, and it was like probably, if I were guessing, the animated series, because why not?
Yeah, I think that's what mine were too.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze was good stuff.
He was the shit, and I remember one of them, like, his head would pop off, and I would, like, pretend his head was like floating around and shit, kind of like some real Star Trek type shit, I guess.
Nice.
Just like, here I am, freeze the head, bitch.
I had a George Clooney Batman action figure. I hadn't even seen the movie yet. Like, my parents were like, would make me wait. You know, like, they had to watch it first. And at that stage, I'm like, maybe they're just watching it to make sure it doesn't suck. But really. It's not like it was all that, but Batman and Robin was trash. But anyway, the action figure, it's like, it's got a collapsible head. That's not the right word. His head doesn't collapse. It presses down into his torso so you can put the cape and cowl over top.
Oh.
But I don't have that part anymore. So now we just have this George Clooney looking character that floats around my kid's room with a head that goes up and down, like in and out of his torso. Like, and my kids are like, look, he's a turtle man. Whoop! And I'm like, okay, yeah, well. That was
Clooney.
Batman once. Like, well, it wasn't really Batman. It was George Clooney pretending to be Batman.
Like, and that just whole being movie George is just Clooney. One big cosplay.
Yeah. He just was George Clooney being George Clooney. Good for him. It was a good gig. And then you got, because, like Michael Keaton was legit. And then, like, everybody rips on Val Kilmer, I guess. I don't know why, because I felt like Val Kilmer did a great version of trying to be Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. And then George Clooney, and there's that. And then you got freaking Christian Bale, who was awesome, in my opinion.
I am the knight.
Yeah, and well, that got a little weird by the third movie.
I don't know, I liked it. I always thought it was funny.
The only time that I thought it was stupid was when, because it makes sense, right? Like, when you're watching, like, the old shows, you're like, how does Mary Jane not know it's Peter if she loves him so much she can't even recognize his voice? Stupid.
Right?
Because my wife, if I rolled up, like, now granted, I've dressed like that before, so it probably wouldn't surprise her. But, like, if I rolled up on a rooftop and was like, hey, it's just, you know, have a good night, whatever, I saved your life. She'd be like, Ricky, what are you doing? Is that you this whole time? And I'm like, no, it's somebody else. And she'd be like, you idiot, take off that mask. I know it's you. And Mary Jane's like, oh, my gosh, he's so mysterious. Oh, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, how do you not? What? You made out with the guy. What are you talking about? Anyway.
And you see? And, like, that's so funny, too, because it's, like, at that same time, like, oh, he's wearing a mask. No one's ever going to know. But then, like, the whole voice thing. But then you look at fucking Superman with his fucking glasses. If my ass rolls out anywhere in public without my glasses, nobody ever fucking recognized me. So it's, like, Superman makes more sense than a mask.
Well, and they did, like, they had that whole thing about how he, like alters his – I can't remember how they explained it, where it's like he alters his face slightly or something, and there's something with his glasses that distort the view of him. I can't, it was some kind of weird thing.
Well,
but then,
they didn't,
like,
need to justify it at all,
I don't
because
know all
people
the, like,
totally just
stuff.
Don't recognize people.
Yeah, well, it's true. And then, like, he posture stuff, like, if you, there was a thing in the older books, I don't know, I'm not as great with newer Superman stuff, I will admit. But he, in some of the older stuff, they kind of talk about how he, like, he changes his posture, and they showed it in the comics. Like, he's more upright with his chest out, more heroic, like, when he's Superman. And when he's not, he's more like, I'm Clark Kent and slouchy. Because I'm always like, dude, the guy looks like he can pick up 1 billion pounds.
Right, like, he's jacked. You can't hide that.
Yeah, it's the same with, like, any, like, Bruce Wayne or Omni-Man or any of these characters. Like, how do you hide that, dude? But it's because people are like, oh, it's too obvious. That's not it. Like, nobody wants to, you know, well, it's like all those videos where people are like, well, like Tony Hawk, where he's like, yeah, I ran into another person who, like, didn't believe it was me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's because you act like a normal person. And you don't carry paparazzi everywhere. And they're like, oh, you're Tony Hawk. Okay. I'm like, well, dude, he's like 6 foot something tall and he's skinny and he looks like Tony Hawk. So he's Tony Hawk. Even if he's right. Not, take a picture of it. Put it on the gram, bro.
I think, like, my favorite one was when he was talking about him and his kids getting their COVID vaccines. And, like, he went in there. He was like, she was, the lady was like, Tony Hawk, like the skater. And he's like, yes. And she's like, oh, that's neat. And he's like, I'm the skater. And it's just like, okay, whatever.
She's like, yeah, great. I don't care though.
Whatever you say.
So yeah, the, Christian Bale's thing, since I derailed myself, I'm going to circle back. When he did his voice changes, that made sense to me. But I didn't like in the third one when Catwoman leaves and he's alone on the rooftop and he's like, oh, so that's what that feels like. And I'm like, yeah, but you're alone now. So wouldn't you be like, oh man, that's amazing. And then I told Courtney, my wife, I'm like, just it's because he didn't know for sure if he was alone. That's why. Yeah. It's like, let it go.
It was funny, but it was just kind of like, one of those jokes where it's like, oh, you forced that, huh?
Yep. That's what, like, I never got with Bruce as a character, right? Because, like, Clark Kent, he's from another planet. So it stands to reason that you won't be able to see that he's incredibly strong because he has heightened powers and all this, right?
Right.
And obviously, especially like in some of the more later books where they show how strong he really is, no human could be proportioned so largely that you could make it, right? Like, I don't know if you've spent a lot of time around large people, like you're an athlete and whatever, but like if you spent time in the gym, like training, bodybuilding, powerlifting, any of those things, you get into some pretty gargantuan humans. And these people, you can't hide it. You see that guy and you're like, okay, so he can pick up like probably 500 pounds or more. That guy's probably like 800 plus. Like, look how big these dudes are. And some of them surprise you a little, but it's not like, oh, he looks really weak, but he can pick up a crap load. No, it would be distinctly obvious if you could lift an entire planet. But right. But he gets a pass because he's an alien. Bruce Wayne, on the other hand, and I could be getting some of this wrong, so the Batman freaks should chill out and don't yell at me. I'm trying to remember everything off the dome, and I'm not very smart.
The only person's opinion that matters about us when it comes to Batman is Wes fucking Greer. He's the only one we care
about.
Yeah.
And Wednesday pulls right now because they're doing Batman coverage just for a little bit. Because
yes, they are. Special.
But they'll be chill. So I'm pretty sure that he's been confirmed to have capability to deadlift like 1,100 pounds, which – for a couple reasons, this is crazy, that you wouldn't be able to see him physically, right? There's only a few people on the planet who can pick up that much weight in that style of a lift by competitive standards, right? And you can see Brian Shaw and Eddie Hall from across the room and know that guy's the strongest dude in the state, like by far. Like, they're huge people.
Yeah.
So Bruce Wayne's over 6 foot tall and capable of lifting over 1,000 pounds. And I think they had a comic at one point where he was bench pressing over 4. These are significant numbers. And for those who are not familiar with powerlifting in general, I mean, 3 lifts combined weight, if you're doing past 1,000 pounds, that would be like a pretty above average person. Now, to compete at a high level, you're going to need to be a lot stronger than that.
Yeah.
But that's crazy strength that Bruce Wayne has. You can't hide that under a button-down shirt and a suit coat. It doesn't work.
Because, like, even like when I was, you know, playing basketball and shit, it was always like, you need to be able to bench press more than you weigh. And it's like, okay. Like,
can that Kevin Durant sound that bad? Though?
Yeah, but like, That's hard as fuck.
Well, like, you know, especially in a flat-chested, long-arm sport like basketball.
Right. Like,
a lot of dudes who play basketball have sunken chests and long arms.
That was me.
I remember in high school, I had a football coach who, and I don't want to be mean, just in case he ever hears the podcast, he won't. But he was terrible. And he was pushing me. So I'm like 16, right? And he was like telling us terrible bench press form and just like making us drop the bar to our chest. And I'm like, I don't know what I was at 16, probably like 150 pounds maybe. And I have longer arms ish. I'm a shorter, not shorter, but I'm only 5'11". So like my arms are longer as if I were to keep growing, and I just didn't. So to be flat chested and young and have long spindly arms and not have proper form, he's telling me to bring it all the way to my chest. So my arms are so far past 90. Like, you go past 90 with a good bench anyway, but not by that much. And I'm like dipping so low that I'm gonna like blow my shoulders apart.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I'm just doing what he tells me, because he's like, if you don't touch your chest, you're fill in the blank, all these mean names. And then you got to bench press your body weight. And I'm like, yeah, cool. And then turns out with proper form, that's a lot easier than what I was making it. But you never knew that. Like, he had us do crazy stuff, man. Like, I was squatting and my knees were like going straight in front of me instead of out. And I'm like, dude, this is terrible. I didn't know till college that I was doing half squats the whole time that were going to blow my body apart. Like, it was
right. Isn't that some shit? It's like you spend your whole life doing like the wrong thing. And then it's like, whoa,
that's one of the dangers, man. You parents out there listening, if you're dealing with coaches, and I'm just telling, Derek probably knows this pretty well too, a lot of those coaches are idiots.
I swear to God, like, I am living my life and I'm trying to make people feel comfortable being able to tell anybody to go fuck themselves.
It's like, I mean, and I'm always like, I tell my kids, like, be respectful, right? But there's question things. Not yet. They're a little young, but like,
sure.
When you see something and it seems off, question it. Say, hey, what's up with this? Now, it's not like if you're sprinting in the middle of a basketball game and somebody throws a pass to you in the middle of the ball being in the air, you don't yell, why are you throwing this to me? You kind of deal with it and then ask after the fact. Like, if you're doing something that seems unsafe or unhealthy or, dare I say, pointless, ask a question. And there's so many people that like didn't, especially with sports, man. I'm kind of a sucker for this because I come from a sports playing background and back when nerds had to be kind of closeted at school.
same.
And, you know, to be in sports, there's just a certain amount of just shut up and kind of do it. Mm-hmm. And then as a coach in various sports over several years, it's like, you're never going to do that. Don't do that to people. So you learn how to do it the right way. But there's a lot of stuff, especially with weight room related things, where they're like, don't do this, it'll stunt your growth. Or really just learn how to do it the right way. And then they're like, do this a bunch. You're like, no, wait, that's terrible. And then you get any kind of education or, you know, trying it out and you find out, wait a second, these people don't even know what they're talking about. They're just trying to wing it so that we don't make fun of them for not knowing what they're talking about.
Exactly.
And at the same time, they're jeopardizing the health and safety of teens. It's really a shame.
Like, if I could go back in time, like, I probably would have never even, like, continued to play basketball, because there's just so many points in time where I should have told coaches to go fuck themselves.
Oh, I had some not my favorite sports times when just was like, hey, guys, here's what we're going to do today. And I'm like, cool. And then, like, you get held to a certain standard and then you feel like other people maybe aren't being held to that same standard. And you're like, wait a second, why am I getting called out for this one thing? And like, I got talked to, I remember, by a coach, because I said freaking or sucks, some kind of non-swear. And another kid on the team, who he knew the kid's parents didn't care, said a bunch of swears, like just a minute before that. The coach heard him make, some kind of genital joke and laughed at it. And then I said, I think it was freaking, but it might have been sucks. I can't remember. And he like called me out, was like, you know, watch your mouth. And I was like, are you serious right now? Like, what's going on? Why me?
Wow.
Why? What's going on? That's weird.
See, like, I played basketball with some guys. Like, I'm not going to give names in case any of them listen, but I doubt it. But, like, you know, we'd be in our little circle during our stretches, you know? And, like, we would be like stretching our groin and like, you know, getting like real low and into it. And like one of my teammates, his favorite thing to do was when we were doing that was to like stick his fucking balls out.
Oh no.
And then he'd be like, hey, so, or hey, Derek, look. And it's like, I didn't need to see your balls today. Man. Like, what's wrong with you? Why do you do this every fucking day?
There's something about like dudes in locker rooms and weird. It's, I think we're past that as a society largely, but maybe not.
I don't know, man.
Like you get those guys who are like, and most of the dudes I went to school with were like, yeah, man, if people are uncomfortable in the locker room, we just leave them alone. But some dudes were like, there were, of course, bullies. Everybody's dealt with them. But then there's other dudes who are just like, I'm just going to be weird and act weird and not wear clothes.
So that For no fucking reason.
But they're like, their thought. I remember one kid, he was super weird. But he's like, no, if I do it, then they're going to be like, oh, it's okay. It's okay to shower and nobody's going to make fun of you because we're all kind of weird and it's fine. And I'm like, dude, I think this is a weird strategy. maybe just like put your pants back on.
Maybe just don't fucking helicopter your dick every day. Okay. Yeah, like it's not guy, that serious. Oh, it's going to fall off.
This dude used to climb over the lockers because we had like the lockers that they were maybe 6 feet tall total.
Yeah.
But he would hop on the bench, hop over the top of the locker because we had rows of them. And he would be naked and he would like sneak up behind people and like just drop behind him and stand there.
Ew.
And they're just like, but he did it. It was like almost like hazing, but not even, because he didn't hit anybody. He was just weird. And we're just like, what is he doing? And he was just like, ha. That was,
oh my God.
So that's weird. So everybody like, thought they were going to listen to a comic book podcast and we're talking about nudity in high school locker rooms, college locker rooms a little bit.
Like, funny story, when I was in college, well, I had dropped out and I was visiting my buddy at a different college. He had his roommate, right? And his name was Connor. And Connor did this thing, like, you know how a vending machine is like super close to the ceiling, but there's still that little bit of a gap. He would climb on top of these things. And he would barely fit, and he looked like a fucking gargoyle.
Yeah, that's called gargoyling.
Yeah, and there was one, like, right next to the entrance of, like, whatever these school, like, the fucking main building where classes were. And I watched this motherfucker climb up there. And every time somebody walked through the door, he'd just do this crazy banshee scream. And, like, oh, my God, so many people would just drop all their shit. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, for those listening, that's a real thing. It's called gargoyling. You either in the nude or in light covering, like underwear, and I would say probably tidy whities or a loincloth would probably be the most suitable option. And then you just hide up there like a gargoyle and wait. And
I still don't understand how he did it. Because there's maybe a 2 foot gap between the top of this soda machine and the ceiling.
I don't have the hip flexibility for that, you know. And I used to get pretty deep in the squats, and I still can't do that kind of crap. That's weird. I've never personally gargoyled anyone, but I have been gargoyled in the past. And I did yell.
you're a victim.
Like, it's like, here's my story. It's like pitch black, and you walk in, you turn on the lights, and they're like, ah! Or like they have a flashlight and you walk into a dark room and they just shine a light on their face and you're like, oh no. And then surprise, you're also naked. Ah!
Oh, it's even worse.
I hate it here.
I'm going home.
That was what was nice. Like college didn't really experience any of that, which was kind of nice. But I also didn't really play a locker room type. I mean, I played baseball in college and it was not really a locker room type sport. As much, you know, it's more like, okay, we're here. It's pretty chill by comparison to the other sports, you know, and you didn't, I don't know. I feel like we mostly just changed in our rooms. It's a little less sweaty, definitely less than football and certainly less than basketball. So you don't really like, you just kind of, you play outside. So they don't always have like an easy shower. You just get back on the bus, you go back to your college and get in your dorm room and you're staying up till 2 a.m. not doing homework anyway. So who cares?
See, when I was in college and when somebody would like, you know, they walking it up to you trying to be all weird and naked and shit, like I wouldn't give a fuck. Like I had this one, he would walk all up on you, like he'd be butt ass naked, and he turned around one time and he was honestly just pissing me off. Man, I smacked the fuck out of his ass. Bare ass. Like, bam. And he said, what the fuck is wrong with you?
But said, what's wrong with you, motherfucker?
We had a dude, I remember in high school, he was new to the team. Like, we had a school that went under in our local area. Like, they just shut down. So their students got divvied up kind of in the area. And I was in Michigan, which was school of choice state. At I think they still are. They were at the time anyway, too. And so they got to choose where they went. So these kids chose to go to our school. It's only like 5-6 miles away, maybe. I remember somebody from our school was like, they weren't trying to like mess with them or hurt them or anything. They just wanted to like bother them a little and just make them uncomfortable. I don't know if it's some kind of weird like dogs peeing on stuff thing. I don't know what it is. To be clear, nobody peed on anybody. We did pay a kid to drink pee once, but anyway.
Oh God.
I didn't. But one of our guys, this football, he walks up naked and just stands next to this dude. Or like, I think he might have had a towel, and then he dropped his towel and just stood there and was like, "What's up, man?" Just standing there. And I'm like, that's a weird flex, right? So the new kid from the other school just like looks at him, doesn't say a word, and just drops trowel. Just is like,
yes.
He was just like, "What's up?" He turned to him and just, I think it was just like a "What's up?" back and forth, and he was just like, "Oh, all right, you're cool." And then he left. I'm like, that's the weirdest.
You know, why? Like that remind. Did you see Shang-Chi yet?
We talked about it.
So spoiler alert, like if you haven't seen the movie, whatever, like that, what you just said reminds me of that fucking, I can't even remember her name, but fucking singing the Eagles.
Oh yeah, that was great. You're talking about, again, spoilers, because I didn't know she was in it, but Awkwafina's in it. And I thought, I don't want to spoil that, because I thought that was kind of a surprise. But yeah, that was so funny.
Like that's the equivalent. It's like weird attacks weird, and then it just like shimmers itself out. Like that's how you gotta do it.
Yeah, it was her name's Katie, by the way, in the movie.
Dude,
that was so funny. And it like worked, but then the next time it didn't work. That was super funny.
Oh man, I was dying. And, like, that was honestly probably one of my favorite parts of the whole movie.
She's got like that raspy voice, and it makes me laugh. And like, we saw that Raya in the Last Dragon movie, and she's in that. So now I just hear that dragon every time she talks. But yeah, that movie was so good and so funny and so good. And I can't wait to watch it again. And as soon as it streams, I'm turning it on.
Hell yeah.
I almost went back to see it. We were looking for a 4D theater in our area just to go see it. And it turns out we don't have any.
Of course not.
And I'm not about to drive like however far to Chicago.
Oh, God.
Friggin' California, man. I was talking to, I can't remember. Somebody who lives in California that is on comics Twitter that a couple years ago I was talking to, and they saw when Dark Phoenix came out, they saw it like 4 times. I'm like, why on earth? And I still haven't seen that movie, Confession, so I don't want to rip on it too bad. But all the reviews, not reviews like Green Ran and people I don't care about, but like reviews from people I trust, they were like, it's trash. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Why'd you see that 4 times? And he's like, it's in 4D. I'm like, you have 4D theaters? He's like, yeah, no, it's 4DX, so like the seats move and it's really cool. I'm like, what? Apparently you can like smell stuff. Like it's like going to Disney World. This is amazing. So I have to do it at some point. And I really thought that Shang-Chi would have been a good one.
That sounds amazing. Speaking of smelling stuff, I need everybody to know that everybody knows my whole Twitter situation that gives a shit. So like I started tweeting at Kyle Higgins again about scratch and sniff book plates for Radiant Black. And the whole time I had my weekly polls account, he never responded to me. And then he responded to my new one and he didn't say it. But I mean, he basically told me to fuck myself.
Don't so make Kyle mad. I like him.
So I'm sorry, guys. I kind of pissed Kyle Higgins off, and he basically told me to fuck off. So we're not getting scratch and sniff book plates.
I mean,
I'm
maybe
sorry.
Not.
I tried.
Maybe he could have been. It's hard to tell through a text type
this
conversation.
Is
maybe he was just like, because he said he's like, we really don't though, or something like that.
Yeah, it was just.
And he might
like
have just been like being funny back.
He might have been. I hope so. I really hope I didn't piss the Hig dog off. But if I did, my bad, bro.
Kyle, if you're listening, we heart you. And yeah, Brady, I'm a Bears fan, and so are you. So we're cool. And Derek is weird.
Yeah, there's no bad blood, dude. Like,
also, I won second prize.
I'm overbearing as fuck on Twitter.
I won second prize in the Radiant Black giveaway. So.
Oh, did you get that yet?
I didn't, but I am very excited about it. I messaged them because I kind of live in the middle of nowhere, and I was like, because we've had mailing issues. I'm like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm harassing you. We've legitimately had mailing issues where things go to the wrong house, somebody else's house, and it's like I live on a road that's west whatever, and right. There's another road that's east whatever.
See, that's how it is.
And there's somebody else has the same house number, and it gets mixed up.
Yep.
And it's a mess with GPS sometimes. So I was like, man, because it's like items from Kyle Higgins' personal collection of like Radiant Black stuff.
Right. Like you need that.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, but not only that, I don't want it to be like, hey, man, I just sent a bunch of really cool, valuable stuff to your house and it never came to your house and him not know it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't message him. I messaged like the Radiant Black Twitter account. But anyway. But yeah, I did win that, so I'm very excited about that.
I completely forgot about that.
And I'm sure it takes. I'm not saying anything because I still haven't sent Fat Thor his winnings from my giveaway.
Getting to the post office is hard when you.
Well, I told him, I was like, dude. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I know. And he's like, oh, I'm not even worried about it. I'm like, that's because you're cool. But like, so I'm not at all like. Stressing about the Radiant Black thing because I know like they're crazy busy too because they're cranking out all sorts of work, plus it sounds like there might be some neat secret crap that they're working on based on some of these kind of
pretty excited about it.
If you guys have been watching Kyle Higgins' Twitter account or any of the other Radiant Black related Twitter accounts, because they have like this full force we've talked about on the podcast before, this like big social media thing that's like a whole network of awesomeness that feeds into the content. The Black Market
narrative is like the big one.
Yeah, and they have the Circle Guy News, which is also the Invincible podcast, guys. It's the same people, but it's like legit ties into like the whole community of the comic. It's really cool how they're doing it. But they've had some kind of ominous tweets that have come out, and you're like, wait, what's happening? Something cool is happening? What's happening? And you know it's going to be cool because everything's been cool with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no joke. But so what have you been reading? I mean, obviously, like we've been reading Radiant Black, but what else? What else have you been reading lately?
So like speaking of mail and maybe not even like, you know, something that a lot of people haven't heard of, Ricky, I mailed you a package today.
I heard.
And well, hopefully it'll be there next week. Our homie W.S. Quinton from out of Kentucky mailed you, me, and Tevin. Issues 1 and 2 of his comic 47 Furious Tales.
Ooh! Oh, that's the one where they were like, if you liked Last Ronin, you're gonna like this.
Yes, and it's so good.
You spoiled it already. You said it was good.
It's good as fuck, dude. Like, I'm really excited. Like, honestly, like, since you're like a big Last Ronin Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle dude, like, you're probably gonna fucking love this shit.
Dude, I'm excited. Like, so did you read Last Ronin at all?
Uh-uh.
It's not done yet, but, Last Ronin, so I haven't been like a big Ninja Turtles reader for many years. Like when I was a kid, I read stuff. In my 20s, I came in and out of it a little bit. I know probably like 5-6 years ago, I went back and read the originals for a while, just because I wanted to get back into reading more Ninja Turtles and catching up on some of the IDW stuff, and I never did. And then reading Last Ronin, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to read every Ninja Turtles thing that's ever been printed ever now because I love it's so good. And if you haven't read Last Ronin, you and the people listening, I personally would recommend not trying to read it now in the single issues because they are already for single issues, they're $9 off the shelf.
Is that cover price?
Yeah, that's cover price because they're bigger. They have like a thick magazine.
Yeah.
But they have like an actual spine instead of staples.
Yeah.
It's a high quality book, but they're $9 a piece.
Damn.
5 issues long, and the 5th issue is going to come out in like another 17,000 months from now because they're super far apart. But I'm telling you, like, if you didn't get them, I read the first two digitally because number one's free on Comixology, and number two, I just paid. I used a coupon and that I had and read it on Comixology because I only own 3 and 4 in physical copy.
Sure.
And if you try to find the other ones, they're crazy expensive and they're hard to find because people are hawking them for like a ton.
Figures.
So I would recommend, I think they're going to do a trade of it or like a, you know, like a full book. It'll probably be expensive, but it's probably going to be cheaper than trying to pull them one at a time. And that way you don't have to wait so long in between. I know that's been a turnoff for some people is the time in between. Cause I wasn't even planning. I was just going to binge through them all. And then I lost count and was like, crap, we're only on issue 4. Well, now what do I do? Like I read them all.
Right.
I just got to wait. But yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Like I've had several people send me stuff, like actual physical comics. And yeah. That 47 Furious Tales is one.
Dude, that's I'm excited for that. If it's going to be because they it's tweeted awesome. About it and I think they might have tweeted to something in response that I said. I can't remember. They said something about if you like Last Ronin. And I was like, sign me up.
Yeah, because they've got their Kickstarter for issue 3 going right now. And I think they're about halfway funded.
That's awesome.
And yeah, like they're not even full sized comics. Right. Like height wise, yeah. They're right. Like they're like smaller. And when I first looked at it, I was like, oh, this is kind of goofy looking. But then, like, you take it out of the bag and board, and it's like, oh, wow, I really like it. This is, like, a neat little size. And then, like, you open it up, and it's, like it's full. Like, you don't – like, you're not cheated because the pages are smaller. Like, it's still full of
oh,
shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's beautiful, cool. Dude. Me it's like awesome.
Me likey. Well, what else have you been reading? Obviously, the indies people are sending, but
– Yeah. Well, today, like I said, I didn't get everything I wanted pulled today, but I read Ordinary Gods number 4 and Homesick Pilots number 10.
Nice.
And, oh, man, have you been reading Scott Snyder's stuff on Comixology?
No, I've been hearing a lot of people talking about it and seeing some tweets about it, so I'm going to have to start. I think, was Clear one of them? Is that
yeah, Clear was this week.
That's what he's talking about, so.
Yeah, I read Clear yesterday. Fuck, it's so good. It was like I don't know if you like Ed Brubaker or like crime books or anything, but it was like a future, like a not like a cyberpunk, but like a futuristic. It felt like I was reading Criminal in the Future.
That sounds like kind of fun. So
yeah, it was awesome. And then We Have Demons. Holy shit!
I've seen a lot of people talking about that one too, and I know nothing about it.
I didn't know what it was going to be about at all. Whenever they were like promoting it, I was like, I'm not going to read anything about it. I'm just going to go in blind because that's what I like to do anyways.
Yeah.
Did not expect that at all, what it was going to be. And it's dope as shit.
Nice. I've been focused a little bit on Firefly recently because our boy Matt Martin, at Marty Stoked on the Twitter, that guy.
Yeah, the homie man.
Yeah. You guys know Matt. He works with the Radiant Black podcast, and I think he manages the Discord channel for them, or server, whatever. So he and I've been reading through Firefly with him. Hopefully I didn't ruin anything, I hope, because he and I haven't really talked to anybody about it. We've just been doing a thing back and forth. So, you know, watching through Firefly, but reading through it with the other stuff that goes with it. So now there's... where am I at? I'm reading one of the comics now. And I bought some. It's like a big, it's like a huge paperback book. Like it's not thick, but it's like large, like width wise. It's got to be a 10 inch wide.
Damn. Book.
It's huge. And I think I actually have it sitting. Yeah, I do. It's right there. Yeah, it's like school book size, but thinner.
Okay. It kind of sounds like the one shots like Aftershock have been putting out. Have you seen any of those?
I have not, but it is a lot of like kind of one shot type things with like short stories. And I think it has some like behind the scenes info in it as well.
Oh, that's
but
cool.
It's got, you know, but it's got like character stuff and things like that. And Firefly, everybody knows about Firefly because it's like the most irritating show to have been canceled. Like everybody, I think it won an award from some group about like the best show that got canceled too soon or something like that.
Yeah, I remember like a lot. I remember when that was like a thing and everyone was like, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I remember it being super popular for that 1 year. when it came out, and everybody was like, wait, it got canceled. But what I guess I didn't realize was that it's been almost 20 years. Like, it was like 2002.
Oh, and I was shit.
Like, whoa, wait a second. What? Oh, crap. How old am I? Oh, no. And I was looking at it. So I'm like, you know, I've never watched it. And I don't remember how. Like, me and Matt were just talking about it on on Twitter. And then I don't remember what happened. We just started kind of like DMing about how we should just watch it, read it, whatever. And so we watched, you know, my wife and I sat down and watched through the episodes. And actually, the special effects are pretty good in that show, considering that it was a network TV show in 2002.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's confusing, but there's like all sorts of crazy stuff about the show that I won't get into because I'm saving it for later. We don't want to spoil. There will be some content podcast-wise coming from that down the road. But anyway, it's pretty neat because since it got canceled so early, and this was like a Joss Whedon thing before some of his weird stuff happened. but like he had this story, and basically like it got canceled. So they have books. They have comic books. They have more comic books. They have, and I don't know. I don't think he's still writing. I think Greg Pak is writing them, or Pak, sorry, the guy who wrote like World War Hulk and a bunch of other cool stuff.
Nice.
He, I think, is the current writer for Firefly, but they've had, so it's still going on. Like they have, I think Boom is putting it out now, but it's bounced around. I think it was on Dark Horse at one point. I can't remember. There's like tons of comics. I didn't even know. There's like a crap load of comics for this thing. So I've been occupying a lot of my time with that. Marvel Dark Ages. Dark Hawk's my other pull.
I can't remember. Are you pulling Spider-Man?
Not anymore. No, I was pulling the Spencer stuff at the beginning, and I think stopped around, I was 20 or 30 some odd issues in. And I haven't, so I've dipped in and out because I'm not with Spider-Man, that particular line, I'm not as worried about spoilers and stuff. So I'm kind of dipped in and out.
Sure.
Just reading some. And I don't know. I mean, I tweeted the other day about it because I'm, like, it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, spoiler alert maybe, that he's fixing some of the issues that all Spider-Man fans have, which is one more day and sins past.
So, like, that seemed to be, like, what was happening. And I guess, like, you know, Spencer's run is over now. And I didn't hate it. You know, like, people hated Dan Slott and whatever. Everybody, you know, the worst fucking enemy Spider-Man has is Spider-Man fans. But we won't talk about that.
Breach.
But like, I will, like, this issue 75, the newest one, except the one 76 came out today, was supposed to, but I haven't got it yet. Fuck you, Penguin. But last week's 75, I was just like blown away because it's just like you get that breath of fresh air. It's like a new set of eyes are on it. Patrick Gleason is a fucking dog,
dude.
Like, damn.
And he, oh my gosh, his cover work is crazy.
Yeah, dude, that fucking cover he did is the one I got. That fucking, it looks like spider webbing.
Was
and
he
it's
the
like
one
blue,
with the spiders
like lightning
climbing up? Oh yeah, okay. Who did the one with the spiders like climbing up over him while he's on the chimney?
I'm not sure because I seen that one.
That one was rad too.
Yeah, DK sent us that, and I don't remember. Yeah. He didn't say what issue that was for. I don't know if that was for,
I mean, it probably
said
it
on
the
for
picture,
later.
But... Dude, it was.
I'm gonna go look and see if I can see
it. I was
it.
Like looking around because Gleason had all these covers he was doing, and he had one for Black Panther that was so cool. But he was doing kind of the same concept with others where it's like not a silhouette, but kind of like they're all like very hidden, and you're just seeing like outer like highlights of pieces of them.
Yeah.
It looked so cool, and it was gone before I even got there.
Wow.
Like I had like asked, hey, can we get it ordered? He's like, we might not even get them. Like, we're not ordering them straight out because they're like, he's like, if we get them, cool, but if we don't, whatever. And they never got it. Or
and honestly,
it sold out very fast.
Like, probably one of the most exciting things, I'm excited for Spider-Man because, like, I've said I'm not going to pull him anymore because he is every week.
Because money. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, damn, it's so good. So I might still.
Isn't that buy the bomb? Well, that's where I'm at with, like, so I haven't read Ordinary Gods, but I have the first three issues. And so what I've been doing is I grab it if it's still on the shelf.
I see.
Because I didn't have room on my pulls, but like I have a certain budget. So I have certain number of pulls, and then I have money that I use for comics just for hunting.
Yeah.
For stuff I'm trying to grab, but I'm using some of that when Ordinary Gods is still on the shelf because I heard so many good things about it. So I'm going to watch it. I'm going to read it. But it's like, I just don't have room on my pulls.
Yeah. Nah, I get it.
So, and like, you know, money and like, which of my kids doesn't get lunch this week? It's kind of like, you better behave because daddy needs comics.
But what else? Yeah. But back to what I was saying, what I'm excited for is, you know, everybody knows already. If you don't, you live under a rock. Like, Ben Reilly's back.
Yes, and then, I am pulling that.
Yeah, in January, J.M. DeMatteis, the man who gave us Kraven's Last Hunt, is giving us a spinoff Ben Reilly series. Now, I can't remember if it's an ongoing thing or if it's just a mini, but either way, J.M. DeMatteis on Spider-Man, and it's Ben Reilly. Fuck, dude.
I think, as soon as I heard about that, actually, my pal Paul Hill, for those of you who are familiar with Paul's work, Paul is a sketch card artist out of the old England over there. And he is on Twitter. His handle is at PJHill81. He's an awesome dude. He does really cool art. But he sent me a message and was like, hey, thought this would interest you. And I was like, what? And I put that thing on my immediately, like, messaged my comic shop. I was like, hey, want this
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah, me too. As soon as I heard about it, I was like, oh, pre-order.
Yeah, it's I'm definitely excited for that one. I'm kind of curious to see what they do with it. I think David Baldion's going to be doing the art for it.
That sounds right. I can't remember right off.
So he has been posting stuff on like Instagram and places of drawing a bunch of different Spidey suits. His art is fantastic. He did the Domino series a few years ago.
Ooh.
That is one of my favorites of the last several years. I really, really enjoyed that series. I'm a Domino fan. Gail Simone wrote the crap out of it, but also like David's art is really good. And I believe he's doing the art for the Ben Reilly series as well. Hopefully I'm not messing that up. I didn't really come with notes today because we were just going to kind of catch
up. Yeah, we're free balling. Oh, I'll tell you. Give me like 2 seconds here. Let me get on my previews world and I'll tell you.
Previews world.
Damn, it doesn't even say, does it?
That was a bummer.
Yeah, it doesn't even say. It doesn't even say. It doesn't even have J.M. DeMatteis' name.
I'm pretty sure. Actually, you know what? Let me just do this real quick because I think Paul's message said it with the article he shared. I'm pretty sure.
It's literally on here, just available to pre-order. It's just called Ben Reilly Spider-Man #1. That's it.
It was. I think it was the article from Marvel's actual website that said it. Said who was doing the art. And yep, it is. It's David Baldion.
Nice.
And I hope I'm saying his name right. I mean, I know that you'll be worse at it than me probably, but
oh dude, I butcher everybody's name. I don't even think I'm saying J.M. DeMatteis right.
But yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard his name said out loud other than
I haven't, like, so I just kind of say it. What it is.
But yeah, it looked like, which I'm kind of happy about, that in the upcoming series, because there's a cover that got released that Steve Scrosi and David Stewart, whoever, I'm sorry if I'm not properly crediting people, that they did for the upcoming #1. And it recentered the spider on his chest. If you guys are like reading the current stuff, like you've seen Ben Reilly with that offset spider.
Yeah, that kind of felt stupid. It upsets some people, and like I didn't really know
it messes with
first.
Me. It like the first time I saw it, I thought it was just like a bad angle, and like I say bad, but like I can't draw like that, so what am I supposed to say? But like I thought it was like he's turned, and they just like showed it kind of weirdly, and then they showed some concept art, and I'm like, oh, it is off to the side. That's like stupid. I don't like that.
You want me to tell you why? I can spoil it a little bit if you want.
Why
just a
it's
little.
Crooked.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not really exactly why, but it's what makes sense to me as far as,
sure,
like, what happened in issue 75. So, like, did you read the new Comic Book Day thing or Free Comic Book Day?
I don't think
his first appearance.
I have it. You're talking about the one that had Venom on it and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have it actually literally in my hand right now this second, but I didn't read it.
So I guess like with issue 75, it kind of showed us like Ben Reilly, like the story arc is called Beyond, and I guess this this company called the Beyond Corporation or whatever, like bought the rights to Spider-Man when Peter sold Parker Industries way back.
Gotcha.
When Dan Slott that was, like, was writing
during the all new, all different, and all that stuff.
Yeah. So yeah. Like. The Beyond Corporation's almost paying, they're paying Ben Reilly to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So so they've given, like, that's not even Ben's original suit. They gave him that. Because in that Free Comic Book Day comic in your hand, Ben had the hoodie costume, the one we all fucking love. And, like, they could just kind of put it in a Walmart bag and threw it in the back of a van.
Aw.
Because they're like, oh, no, you're not wearing that shit. Here's this. It's brand new Thai fucking tech. So it's like, I think that's why it's off center. That's it's what makes like sense to me. It's
like in the office when Charles took over and made Dwight wear sleeves.
Yeah.
yeah, that's so I have. Oh yeah, you're right. There it is, right there. The Walmart bag. Get rid of it.
Yep. It's like, punch, oh, you don't need that. You have this now.
I'll punch that guy. But yeah, it's Amazon. That was actually something I really liked about the some of that Spider-Man. What was that series that was like 2014, 2015, or whatever? Where like when he was working with Mockingbird and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he had just gotten his body back from Superior, that whole deal.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't remember how exactly all of that went down, but it was like they spent a lot more time with like, oh, we caught a bad guy. We should maybe like help them rehabilitate and see if we can maybe offer an alternative to their skill set. And then some like cool stuff like that. But then also that there were multiple Spider-Men types, spider characters that Peter was using. So he didn't have to be everywhere all the time. And also there was stuff happening, not just in New York.
Right.
And that was cool.
It was cool.
That was neat. So, yeah. Okay, cool. I guess I have to read that. Book then.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's Spider-Man, like I said, people dog Spencer's run, like whatever.
They just dog it because they're mad about Hydra Cap still. Everybody's still mad about Captain America's Hydra thing. And, oh, it's Nick Spencer ruined comics. Ah, well, whatever, man.
Yeah, but like Spider-Man now, like it's in a really good place. And issue 75 was really good. And if like that holds true to what's coming in the future, like probably going to keep pulling it.
And that's just the way it is.
And that's just the way it is.
Just waiting.
Anyway, so what else you been doing, man? How's the skateboarding going,
dude? All right, so I haven't got to do it that much, but I am so close to doing a pop shove. It is literally on the tip of my dick. Like it is there.
Skateboard. If you put it on the tip of the skateboard, you'd probably execute the trick better.
Exactly. Like I have the motion pointers down. It's just my brain telling me not to commit. But when I do almost commit, like, I can feel it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, ooh, almost did it that time.
That's what happened when I was going to rock to fake you this one thing.
So, like, there's this speed ramp at our skate park here. And when I first got my first skateboard, it was an Amazon board that my sister got me for my birthday 2 years ago. Or maybe last year. I took it to the skate park. And I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to go down the speed ramp. Ate shit immediately. And I kept doing it. I did it like four or five straight times and just kept eating it. Mm-hmm. So I screwed myself over, and it was like once I got my like, you know, legit skateboard and was like trying to get better, I would get up there and it was like, shit, I can't do this. I'm going to eat shit. But this past weekend, I finally was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like I can do it. And I did. And it felt cool as shit.
Is that video you posted?
Yeah.
You were rolling all around, man.
Yeah, dude. It was awesome. And then, like, before that, I had a little help because the skate park in my hometown where I grew up is definitely more, like, beginner-friendly because it has a mini quarter pipe with the coping and the drop-in. But then it has a bigger ramp, but it's a roll-in.
Mm.
And so I managed to get down that first.
Nice.
So, like, yeah, I'm getting pretty confident. Like, I can kick turn down the like kick turn up the quarter pipe or whatever. Like I'm probably gonna try to drop in sometime soon.
Yeah, I'm like, gonna, I'm, I'm going to work in on was the one skate park I went to. I went to two skate parks last week, and I have not been to a skate park in, oh, probably since 2008, at least.
Was it liberating?
It was all right. I mean, I was like, I'm just going to, I don't want to get in anybody's way because I'm taking it real slow.
Yeah, that's how I always feel too.
I've been trying to like get comfortable doing some stuff, little tricky things, but it's on my patio, so I'm not rolling anywhere.
Right.
I know like you probably saw me like hop off my deck at one point because it's like, you know, 6 inches or something, but that's the most rolling. So I was like, man, if I get on a skateboard and actually roll, am I going to fall off and die? So I was just kind of cruising around, but like the one park is a little bit more. It's like more beginner friendly and advanced friendly. It's just a nicer park. And then the other one has some more beginner friendly stuff, but it's very close together. So I think a lot of like younger people would struggle with it, but it has like one of those 18 inch quarter pipes. If you can even call it that. It's so small. Technically it's a quarter, but it's so small. And it's almost harder for me to like, I dropped in on that just to say I did it, but it's like, it was almost too hard because it's such a short little drop.
Right.
And then I did a fly out kind of like, not really a fly out. It was like a sort of coming out of, it was a 4 foot. And I was like, oh, cool. I could probably drop in maybe. And I like, cause I like went up and went back down. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll try to drop in on that today. I don't know. Let's just do some speed, go up and just kind of ease my way into it. Like I'll roll up, roll back down and just get higher and higher and higher. And then I went up and accidentally popped over the coping. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I could rock to fakie this one. Probably. Sure. And then I went up and kind of bailed. But then I couldn't get my footing on the way back down.
Oh, no.
Couldn't get my feet under me, and I made it away from the board fine, so I didn't die. And then I was like, oh, I'm kind of falling towards this box ledge, which has a metal edge, and I'm going to put that into my rib cage. That'll feel really bad. I should try to move my feet more this way. And I never got my feet under me, and I just fell and like bruised my butt really bad. And I was like, man, I fell moving like not moving at all. And I basically just tripped into that. But then, you know, my next time out went fine too. So, you know, things are coming along. We're all getting there. Good old Marty Stoked. He's one of those, he's one of the skateboard homies that were, you know, gets tagged and stuff. Him and Bill from the Invincible podcast. I'm always tagging them.
Hell yeah, dude. It's just like, I try so hard to get out, and it's like, I feel I go so long in between sessions. It's like, I feel like I got to start over a lot.
I'm trying to figure out, like, so did you skate before when you were younger?
No, like, I've been skating for a year now, but, like I said, like, I go weeks on end without being able to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I maybe have a total of, like, 4 or 5 months of actually skating under my belt.
So, like, for me, like, I'm struggling with, there's things that I, like, I know I could do before, but I can't do like the muscle memory and some of the coordination is gone.
Yeah.
So like even little things like just pumping as I go through the skate park and just rolling and trying to pump right. Like I'm just missing the coordination for some of it. And like when I was trying to do that board slide the other day and it took me like a billion tries because I couldn't get my body to turn back off of it at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, well, here we are. I just landed stupid again. Like, just little stuff like that, but it's like, I don't know. I kind of accidentally did a rolling kickflip the other day. So, like, I wasn't planning on doing that. I was just there to get familiar with the park. And I was like, I'm rolling. I have space. I'm going to do a kickflip. Oh, cool. I did it. But then it, like, freaked me out because I was like, how did I do that? Oh. And then I almost died. But old people, man. That's what happens.
See, and then, like, we got a brand new skate park, and they finally opened it last week. And I was going to go there on Sunday. But it was like stupid fucking packed. So I went to the other one and it was empty, which is what I wanted. But anyways, like I saw the new park and it's legit. And you know what they have? A fucking mini ramp.
That's what I wanted to build one. But I'm like, I told my wife, I was like, listen, we have space. We just got to pick where. And I want to put up a mini ramp because my kids want to use it. Some of them want rollerblades. Some of them like bikes. My one son wants to do skateboarding. I'm like, mini ramps do all of that. So, and it's like, you can do that without having to really abuse your body too much. Or if you want to push it, you can do cool stuff. And I'm like, dude, if I just go out and roll a little bit and just tap on some rails, I'll feel pretty good. And I'll just, right. it's just like a nice feeling. I know I'm not trying to like, I'm never going to skate as hard as I did when I was a teenager. Like, I'm never going to do that. I don't think anyway. And it's not like I was good then either. So it's like, I'm not going to try to like relive something that didn't happen or like go get sponsored. I'm 100 years old in skateboarding years that I'm not any good. So right, a mini like ramp just kind of cruise is fun.
Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to be able to land a couple flat ground tricks, maybe fucking grind a couple copings, a rock the fakie.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, just some cool shit.
I freaking found out because I bought cheap trucks on Amazon because I'm like, dude, I'm not putting in any money until I see that I'm actually going to stick with doing this for a while.
You tore them up, didn't you?
No, they the bolt. I didn't even know this when I was I didn't notice when I was putting them on the deck because the deck I have is from I got in 2006 probably and never used it. It was a used deck that somebody was getting rid of.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool, I'll just hold on to it. And then luckily my parents still had it in their garage. So I was like, oh, I'm taking that. But the trucks, the actual bolt is too long. So if you try to do a grind, like a 50-50, you would just hit the bolt and it jacks things up. So when I did it, I found out because I went and I did a rock over the top, it felt weird. Like, there was like a grind noise in the concrete and it felt funny. And I looked, I'm like, holy crap, it's like a quarter inch longer than the truck itself. I'm going to shave that off or just buy nicer trucks. I don't know.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to
go get you some real trucks, bro. Go get you some Indies.
That's what I always had. Like, cause I asked my parents if they had it. Cause I know I had a set of independent trucks in there, but I think my brother probably sold everything when I moved out. He was quick, dude. He sold all my BMX bikes. I'm pretty sure. Damn. He knows how to make money, man. So he was like, you don't live here anymore, right? I was like, nah, I don't care about that stuff. I'm old now. And then it turns out I kind of wish you'd kept it. But yeah, I know I had a set of Spitfire wheels and a set of independent trucks that who knows, maybe I gave them to somebody. I don't know, but whatever. What else you got, man? What's going on? What else is going on with you? Cool stuff? Doing anything fun? Doing cool work. Work's awesome. Never mind. Let's not talk about work.
I don't want to talk about that shit.
Work's stupid.
I'd rather drag my balls through a mile of shard glass to hear you fart through a walkie-talkie than talk about work.
I just want to say real quick that I don't believe you. I don't. I haven't personally ever done that. The whole shard glass, shards of glass, however you worded that. I don't think that would be pleasant. I'd rather.
Well, I would at least listen to you fart in a walkie-talkie, okay? But yeah, my wife's baby showers this weekend, so that's cool.
Baby, when's she due, man? Are you allowed to say that on the podcast? I don't know the rules.
Yeah, it's December.
Oh, Christmas baby.
I know, it's gonna be coming sooner than later. I'm gonna blank and she's gonna be here.
Aww.
And I'm gonna say, do you like comics?
And then she's gonna be like, no, mom says nerd stuff's dumb.
Then she's just gonna poop all over herself.
Yeah, babies do that. They do poop. That's just a warning. If I could give you any bit of parenting advice, it would be that babies poop. So, as you can tell, I'm a very good parent. So.
You're very good at super popping them out, man.
I'm really good at parent stuff. Yeah.
I bet you're the president of the local PTO, am I right?
I am not. Nope. No, only one of my kids is even in public school. We're actually sending them back to public school at the semester, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Because they're kind of interested in going back in. So we're like, cool, we'll try it out, see how it goes.
Oh, were they doing the whole remote thing because COVID?
No, it was – so we've been homeschooling for a couple years just because, like, it was getting to be a pain. And I'm sure anybody who's knows anything about teaching is aware that they're not always funded very well. So they're like, oh, hey, we have one teacher for 30 kids, and there's no possible way that teacher can teach them the way that that teacher really wants to, because a lot of times they're alone and have no help. And so like my daughter, she was just kind of like, there was some stuff that we're like, man, I wish that she could have a little bit more focused time. And the school just isn't always equipped for that. Sure. It's not always their fault either. So like I said, like, it's not like the teacher wants to let my kid be kind of left out. The teacher just has only herself and no helper, or her helper is like a junior who is doing some kind of class thing.
Sure.
So we started kind of with that. We were like, man, we're kind of leaning towards it. And then we were like, man, the time. They spend 8 hours at school, 7 or 8 hours. I feel like we could accomplish all of that in a much shorter amount of time and get them into some other stuff that they're more interested in. They have like STEM stuff that these kids can do and sports stuff too, but there's more learning that can be done.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You don't, if it's only a few of them, right? So we started thinking about that. And then a couple years ago, because now there's e-learning, a lot of the schools got really quick, in my opinion, to just be like, oh, it's an e-learning day. I'm like, well, great. Well, if we e-learn for 30 days out of the year, I want to check, because I'm paying iPad insurance because you gave my 5-year-old an iPad and said, do you want insurance? I'm like, what do you think? He's 5. And if I don't buy the insurance, I got to pay $500 when he definitely breaks it. So, like we were kind of getting annoyed because we were e-learning like once or twice a week. This is pre-COVID.
Oh, wow.
We're like, dude, it was like a little foggy, and I get it. You want to be safe. You want to make sure the kids, you know, don't get in a bus crash. But like, we're just like, dude, e-learning is miserable. And most of the teachers I've talked to hate it. Like they hate doing it because the kids, it's hard, especially my one kid is in kindergarten and they're doing e-learning. So it's just kids like looking at each other being like, oh, hi, Timmy. I haven't seen you. Hi. And then they'll make like fart noises.
You guys want to see my race car? I have a race car.
Dude, I promise you, like the one day the teacher was doing it, I was in the room because I didn't have to work that day. And the teacher made it about 10 minutes and was like, all right, guys, well, we'll see you tomorrow. And you could tell like she'd had enough because she kept saying like, oh, can everybody please mute their microphones? And the parents are supposed to sit with the student. So that because they're 5 years old and don't know how to use a computer, so you're supposed to sit with them. And like half of the class, their parents weren't even in the room. Oh, and I'm like, God. Dude, this poor teacher, like she's just trying her best. And these kids are like, ha, did you fart? Ha ha. Oh, your shirt has a Spider-Man. Ah, that's cool. I watched Star Wars yesterday. And you're just like,
You got any games on your phone?
Yeah, and I want to yell and be like, shut up, your teacher's trying to talk. But she, semi-class.
That's so funny. Yeah.
But we're going to send them back and see how they like it. And because like they play sports in the summer, so they know a lot of these kids anyway. So we're just like, yeah, dude, see your kids, hang out, have a good time.
Right.
Have fun. I enjoyed some school. Like grade school, I enjoyed it. I didn't like anything after that, but whatever.
I hated, dude. I hated school. I honestly, like at this point, it's just like, I hate being told what to do and when to do it. Like,
yeah,
I'm not asking you permission to take a shit. If I got a shit, I'm going. Like, that's it. End of story.
I know a kid who peed in a plant during class because the teacher wouldn't let him go.
Good for him.
To be fair, he was a nuisance and a problem for many years, and he did it on purpose. And he also showed up to school drunk in middle school. So
that kid.
He got sent away to a special school, and then he came back and later. And he didn't grow at all. Like he was consistent.
Did he come back with prison tats, and was he jacked?
Dude, it was kind of awesome. So when I was in seventh grade, there was like this constant seventh versus eighth grade war kind of thing. But by war, I mean, we all would stand in the hallway while we watched this one seventh grader and this one eighth grader get in a fight all the time. So basically the cycle was they would get in a fight. The seventh grader would usually win because he was like nuts and kind of weird strong. And then they would get suspended. They'd come back to school. They'd fight again. Then they get suspended. They come back to school. And then there was a different eighth grader who would take a turn. And he also would get the crap kicked out of him.
What the fuck?
Oh, I remember watching it. Like he booted the guy in my class in the junk, like not on purpose. He just threw a kick and it caught him. And you saw the guy's eyes get crazy. And then he just unleashed. And we're like, dude, what's happening? And then they're like, everybody in the hall's getting attention. So you take off running. But then this kid never grew for the next like 5 years. He came back like senior year, I think. And I was like, oh. Dude, you're like still 5'6" and 150 pounds, and you're weird now, and you're like all philosophical. But yeah, in middle school, he 100% showed up to school drunk. And he, I remember he was drinking at like a basketball game or something, and he had a 40 with him. I don't know how he got it. And he was, and I was like, I always thought people were lying. Like when people said they did bad stuff, they're lying. He right. was for real. Smoking weed in middle school, smoking cigarettes all the time, doing like he was getting into Adderall and goofy stuff that he probably actually had a prescription for because it was like, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. If you did anything, you got Adderall or Ritalin anyway. And he was like legit drinking a lot as for what I would say is a lot for a 13-year-old, right? Like, that was it was a fun it was a you know it was interesting good stuff. It was definitely good stuff, but otherwise high school was kind of dumb. I didn't really like it that much, although my senior year was great. I mean, my only class is senior year because I fulfilled like when I was younger I was like, oh, I'll be like smart and I'll like work hard, and so I did like high school classes in middle school. Then you get to high school and you would then take college classes, right, to get ahead of the game. But instead, what I did was I didn't take college classes in high school. I just took less classes. So attaboy. I didn't know you could do that. So my senior year, they're like, well, you already have all your math and your language and all these other things. So you only need like this. So I took, let's see, I did auto shop. I was in auto shop, which is a 3-block class. We did a 6-block. We used to do like 8 split, but then we did 6 all every day. So the first half of the day was auto shop. And then the second half of the day, I went to work as part of the auto shop cooperative thing. So I worked at Ford and did like an internship. And then I switched it. So I did strength training for the first hour of the day, then auto shop for 2 hours. And then I went to work. So I had the only textbook I had was a transmissions thing, which I still have. And didn't use it because our teacher got a better job and they couldn't replace him. So we had some guy who didn't really do anything but listen to Pantera all day.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Yeah, he was from Detroit. And then we were like, what's your deal? He's like, well, I was a bouncer, but now I'm a teacher. And I'm like, okay.
I used to bounce drunks. Now I bounce children.
Cool story, man. That's really cool.
Now listen to some Pantera and shut the fuck up. That was so, me.
How's that website going, dude? Talk about the website. Tell people about the website.
The Weekly Pools has a website now, and it's pretty cool. We got you, me, Tevin, the homie TJ, aka Fat Thor, and the homie Hudson, aka My Comic Thoughts. And we out here trying to create, I guess, like when I envisioned this website, I want it to be like what comicbook.com should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you see shit for like just comicbook.com is just like the first one I think of. It's never comic book shit. It's always just fucking bullshit.
Ads, and then you get a lot of bad news.
Yeah, it's not even real news anyway.
Yeah.
Or like a fan made YouTube video of a Spider-Man No Way Home leak and they'll post it and it's like, why did you
don't post that? That's such a waste. Yeah, it's not a good idea.
And like, so it's like with us, like I wanted, it's like, okay, here's the website. This is what we're reading. Here's a whole page of nothing but fucking Kickstarters that we love. Here's a whole page of indie comic shops where it's just like the indie guys creators and their online stores. Like, boom, here you go. You want to read some indies? Here's their direct links. Go fucking buy their shit.
Oh, it's legit.
And like, yeah, we got Marvel on there too and DC and. Like I said, I just want it to be like a user friendly, like the be all end all. Like, here's your news, bro. Read it.
Nice. And, it's a good time.
Yeah. And
it's got plugs for the people that like other people that we like, you know, Wednesday Polls and My Comic Thoughts, I think, has a little thing on there. Comic Cade and Saturday Morning Comics. Yeah. Blake's Buzz. All that stuff's up in there.
We're going to get Blake on here. We're going to bullshit with Blake here soon, too.
Nice.
It's just been, you know,
yeah, man,
shitty, you know, everybody knows shit that's happened, but we're here now, and like Yeah, and I really want, like, especially new readers. Like, I meet people on Twitter all the time, and they're, like, new to comic book Twitter, and, like, they're trying to make friends, and it's like, check this out, man. Like, look at all this shit.
Yeah,
like,
check it. It's great. It's a little network, little community pile right there. Come check it out and start grabbing.
Like, you are not alone. Like, for the longest time before I did this whole Twitter, internet, comic bullshit, like, I was like, man, I'm the only fucking loser in the world reading comics. And it's like, I'm not. There's tons of us.
I had so few nerd friends. It's all just like, oh, you guys watch the Marvel movies? Yeah, dude, I love the MCU. Sure, I love all that stuff. Even the stuff that's not even that good, I still love it, kind of. And it's like,
yeah.
Like, I make fun of Batman and Robin, but it's still cool that we have, like, comic book movies. But that's all you can talk to people about, because they're like, wait, you read comic books? Well, that's weird. I'm like, yeah, but, like, get over it. And they're like, oh, what are you reading comic books for? I'm like, well, you watch the shows. It's the same deal, except I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and the books are better anyways, because most there's no the fucking time. Rules.
And it's like, yeah, it's great. It's awesome, though, being able to see new readers and being like, hey, check out websites. And my favorite part is, at least from what I see, like, weeklypulls.com is not out here trying to replace any of our other cool pals. It's more to just help everybody grow community-wise, so you have more options and more things to look at. And you may say, you know, like, Wednesday Pulls is their blog. They do lots of reviews, lots of cool stuff on there. And then we've got guys on Weekly Pulls doing their thing with different, like, Hudson's doing the trade things, right? It's like, there's
like trade Hudson recommendations. Loves to read, like, trade, so yeah, there's all sorts of, like, different, like, yeah, it's awesome.
You don't have to have you know, one, it's not like a one company versus another company thing. It's the whole community is doing awesome crap, and everybody needs to get to enjoy it and do whatever they want. And, you know, the internet should be fun and not stupid.
Yeah, like, we're almost like I almost want to be, like, at the same time, be a trampoline too. Like, well, yeah, you can come to us. But it's like, okay, check out our homies doing this too.
Yeah, what are you looking for, man? There's a boing, go over there, bounce. Is that what noise a trampoline makes? Boing.
Yeah, like, we got our homie Warren and the dudes at a House of Nerd, and we've got Wednesday Pole, and here's the Blake. House of Nerd.
Cade, this is a great thing you've brought up. Yeah, Cade with them Saturday Morning Comics, bro.
You know, like, there's a lot of cool people out here doing a lot of cool shit, and I want, like I said, trampoline people to each other.
Since you mentioned House of Nerd, little plug for House of Nerd. They are hosting a live event starting at 1 Eastern on Saturday for DC Fandom. Yeah, it's going to be a big deal, and I will be involved in that.
Ooh, neat.
At the tail end, because of stupid work. Lots of cool people going to be in there. I know Wednesday Pulls, they were doing their own thing, but I think now they're actually going to be a part of that. Or one of them is, I think Lex might be. Anyway, there's a group of people that are all taking shifts and doing coverage for this DC event. And all of you people should tune in to the House of Nerd show at 1 Eastern on this coming Saturday, which is the 16th,
yeah,
probably something like that.
Yep,
pretty dope and rad and or cool possibly. So that's gonna be a fun time. Dude, what else is going on that we're supposed to plug? Lots of Kickstarters.
I've got obviously one more thing that I want to plug, and that's like, I've been tweeting it, and like, people have been being like, yeah, dude, that's really fucking cool. Yeah, and it's like, I'm really excited for Halloween this year because I'm handing out comics.
Yeah.
Like, cool. a shit ton of comics. And it's like, I know people out there, like, have their collections and they love their stuff, blah, 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 like, whatever. But it's like, if you have books and, like, you don't want them and you think kids would love them, hand them out, bro. I just went down to the antique shop, like, down the street and bought $20 comics. Like, I got 20 comics for a dollar a piece. And, like, I got a shit ton of Batman and Superman, X-Men, like, just a bunch of cool fucking shit. Yeah. And then I ordered some stuff from Alterna, and it's just, like, a 25 comics, all ages, Halloween-themed comics. And I'm, like, super stoked. Like, hand out comics for Halloween this year, guys.
So much joy to their little faces. And a lot of those kids are going to remember. Like, and some of them might be, that was the day that I got into comics. And they'll be like,
right.
Down the road, they'll have some weird podcast on some weird internet platform, whatever comes next, and they'll be like, what got you into comics? They'll be like, well, when I was like 7, there was this weird dude, and he was like, read comics, yo! And they were like,
oh, he was on his porch on Halloween dressed like Alice Cooper singing Motley Crue, handing out comics, and he was really fucking weird. He kept saying
stuff about how awesome Judas Priest was, and we're like, who's that? I don't even go to that church. And you're like, what?
And like, then they're going to be on the school bus, and they'll point to my house like, that's the one, that's the plug.
That's the guy, and then you'll just be sitting there, but now your hair is all white, and you look weird.
And I'm going to be at home just chilling. I'm going to get a little knock on my door, and it's going to be little Billy down the street. You got any more of them fancy books?
Speaking of Billy down the street and weird stuff, I think Chuck Billy did a voiceover in What If, by the way.
Did he?
I'm not. I swear I saw his name in the credits. I'm like, wait, how? What?
How did I not catch it?
I don't know. I have to go back. I think it was the Doctor Strange episode. But anyway.
I'll have to go back and check it. We worship Chuck Billy in this house.
So, yeah, my only other plug other than the House of Nerd event was non-comic related, but you could still be nerdy for music stuff if you're into it. There's Song Cinema Records that I've been goofing around with on some stuff, and a few people involved in that have been posting music recently. Some of it I'm helping with, some of it I'm not, but nice. If you guys are paying attention, you should be following Song Cinema Records, and there's a few other people in there. Ryan Record just posted a song today, or last night, whatever, that's out there, so follow along and goof around with that, have some fun, listen to some jams, bro. Not metal, no metal yet, but you know, a lot of good stuff.
Nice.
And more to come, so.
Well, anyway. That's really all I have to say.
Yeah, man. Long show, but it's like our soft reopening, and then Tevin's back. We're going hard in the paint, son.
Oh, for sure. Hopefully next week we'll be able to have Tevin on here too, and hopefully we can start at least doing it at least once a week until my baby's born, and then we'll adjust again.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a
Rodman,
lot of fun.
Jordan and Pippen back together.
96 Bulls. I only took 7 losses.
They're the best. Good times. It was good times for sure.
All right. Well, that's the weekly pulls for this week. We out here.
Weep.